people. But if you would like to be included on that prayer chain, let me tell you, the Tara who writes them, you can just about say amen to her prayer request and just say, Lord, let it happen if you don't have a whole lot of time. But if you can, take a moment and pray for that need. How many know prayer changes things? It does. It totally does. So I'm going to start this list around. Now, when it gets towards the back, how about crossing it over to the other side of the aisle? So what we need is your name, and if you'd like a text, your text phone number, or if you'd like an email, put your email down. Are you on it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Got quite a few things here. Oops. I don't know what. Don't want those. Okay, how many know that this Thursday is National Day of Prayer?
Yeah.
May 3rd. If you'd like, you can go to a Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. It's at 6:45 to 8 a.m. at the Howard Johnson, and it's $12 for tickets. You can get them at Inklings and Fiddlesticks. Normally, there's a silent prayer walk that happened on April 28th. That's too late for us to do anything about, but there's going to be prayer stations, May 3rd from 1 to 7 p.m., and there's a number, if you guys want to, I only have one of these, if you guys want to check out where you can go and pray, or you can just pray at home, 248-1934 is the number you can call and find out where the prayer stations are. I tried to find them online, I couldn't, so that. So this Friday is our 24/7 prayer, and I have the sheets right here for those of you who don't get emails. They're right here. That seems going to hand them out. And this is our, I know lots of prayer. How many know that we're a praying church? We believe in prayer. We have a Saturday night prayer, and we meet all over the valley. And there's a couple of nights that are still open. May 12th is still open, and May 26th in May. And we have pretty much all of June and July that you can sign up for. This is a time where we just come and gather at your home. And like last night, we just gathered outside and it worked really well. And we prayed and prayed for the city. We had a great view overlooking the city and prayed for the valley. And it was very inspiring. But I want to encourage you to sign up, be a host home. And we meet at 6 o'clock on Saturday nights. And it's an amazing time. It really is. Here, you guys can pass that back. Thank you, Stephen. It's so quiet in here. I was so used to the music. Okay. Well, this message is a continuation of last week. Last week I was sharing on basically the principles of marriage. And it was, I didn't even have a chance to even listen to it. Some people said it was a great definition of marriage. I'm saying, well, I don't even know exactly everything I said. But I do know that God is the designer of a marriage. He designed it from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and anything else other than a man and a woman is a perversion of what God has designed. Today I want to talk about husbands and wives, because I think that's appropriate if you're going to talk about marriage. Just makes sense to me. And I'm going to be using a couple of different scriptures. By the way, again, we'll have R-74 back there that you can sign, which is a referendum, which basically will stop the bill that was passed a couple months ago. And then we have a initiative, I-1192. So those are both back there, and if you're a registered legal voter, you can go back and sign your name, and every signature will help basically make a statement. How many know that when we, you know, vote with our, you know, I guess we go to booths or we, you know, fill out ballots. When we do that, we're saying that we're standing for something. You know, we're saying we believe that we have a God-given right in this country to make a choice for hopefully righteous, godly people who will lead our government in a way that we would think it should go, instead of just, you know, not doing anything and then letting, some people say, you know, nature take its course. And unfortunately, when righteous people are quiet and don't let their voice be heard, what takes its place? Unrighteousness. So we have a responsibility. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians 5, 21. Ephesians 5, these verses are probably some of the most quoted verses there are in the Bible when it comes to husband and wife relationships. And last week I said that, I had Pastor Gay stand up with me. I said, before she is my wife, now this sounds weird because some people say, well, wait a minute. Like, before she's my wife, and more importantly, she's my co-heir in Christ. She's a sister in Christ. She's a joint heir in the inheritance that we have in Christ. And it's from that mindset that a healthy relationship stems, I believe. You say, well, Pastor Mike, how can you prove that? Well, let me help you here. If you look here in verse 21, he is actually finishing a thought previous, but he says, and further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if we go back up here, it's talking about submitting to Christ, and now it's talking about submitting to one another. And this word submitting is a tough word for, you know, some women to take. I remember when Gay and I were married, and my sister was there, and she heard, I think it was the submitting part, she goes, I don't like that saying. She's not a believer, but she says, that's not right, you know, for women to, you know. And so submitting has gotten a bad connotation, you know, because men said, I am Lord, I am King, and you are submitted to me. And that's not really the way it's supposed to be. It says here, and further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if you think about this, the whole basis of marriage is based on each submitting to one another. Each giving each other their place of responsibility, yes. But in heart, in character, in a type of Christ, we submit to one another. Now, what's this word submit mean? Because I think it's important. This word submit means I place myself under in this connotation. I place myself under. So submitting is something you choose to do. How many know it's very difficult to make people submit to you? You will submit to me. It just doesn't work. It does not work. Submitting is a choice that the person who is under submission makes. Now listen, the first place in our walk that we need to submit is Jesus. We don't run our own lives. And the longer you have a walk of faith, the more you'll realize you cannot run your own life. You can't manage it yourself. You can't do it yourself. You can't become a man of God, a woman of God, on your own power, your own strength. Because I'll tell you what, it's futile to try that. It is totally futile. I've got my phone in my pocket, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't go off, too. So that's always embarrassing. I felt it there, and I go, uh-oh. Submission is a choice. We choose to submit. and we choose to submit to God first. I believe when we can truly submit to God first, guess what? It's easier to submit to others. When we are able to say, Lord, you are my God, you are my King, you are my authority, you are the one that I look to for wisdom, knowledge, grace, everything in life, guess what? It's easier to submit to others because you have a heart of submission. So if you're having a hard time submitting to your spouse or vice versa, guess what? Probably need to really submit to God. So I believe if we submit to God first in reverence of Christ and reverence for Christ, if we're submitting to each other in reverence for Christ, what does that mean? It means we revere Christ first. We give him preeminence. So let's read on. Now, you wives will submit to your husbands. Now, that's a New Living Translation. Some people may not like that, but listen to this one. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, this is an encouragement for wives. Wives, submit to your husbands, right? I didn't write it. Just repeating it. I'm the messenger, okay? I am the messenger. I am not the message. Wives, submit to your husbands. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, listen, wives, it would be right for you, as you're to submit to each other, to submit to your husband. To place yourself under him. Not have him, but you choose to place yourself under him. Why? Well, when a woman places herself under her husband, it's a place of safety. Because godly order is established, and in that godly order is godly authority. And godly authority brings protection. Did you guys know that? When you place yourself under godly authority, you have protection. Now, I'm not, all I am is in a position here. But when people come to me and they say, we're having difficulties or something's going on here, and they place themselves under godly authority, which God has placed me in authority here. I'm not the authority. God is the main authority, but he's placed me in an authority position here to be able to speak, to be able to pray, to be able to proclaim, to be able to prophesy, to be able to discern, to be able to judge between right and wrong. People who are elders, people who have been established in godly government have that authority. Also, to bless you with wisdom, counsel, prayers. And so when you come and you say, I feel that God wants me to be here, planted in this place, and you say, I want you to be a pastoral figure to me, I want you to be a shepherd to me. Now, God is the main shepherd. I do not want to have a church where people are following individuals, whether it be me or someone else, because all I am is a tool in God's hands. But the main person for us to focus on is Christ, because if I'm not here, you need to know how to focus on Christ. You need to know how to get your information, your leading, your marching orders from Jesus, not from Pastor Mike. That's why we need to read our own word, as we saw last week. I want to remember that the Sadducees are what? And why? Because they don't believe in the resurrection, right? And they did not know the word of God. They did not know the word of God, and they did not know the power of God. And so we have a people in this day, unfortunately, lots of Christians don't know the word of God and don't know the power of God. And they, in turn, are powerless. They, in turn, are in bondage and in chains. So if a wife chooses to place herself, as he is saying, wives submit, and New Living Translation say, you will submit. He's trying to not make the wife be in a place of misery and torture. He's trying to put the wife in a place of safety and security. Listen, if we keep going on, it kind of explains even a little bit more. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. So the husband is in a place of Christ in a marriage. See, the reason And this is, I didn't want to get to this next week, this last week, but I want to get to it this week. The reason husband and wife relationships, man and woman, marriage as God established it, are so important that God established it not just so that Adam and Eve could be together. Some people think that. Some people think Adam was alone, and here we go, he needs a mate. But you know what? God allowed that to happen so that we could see on this earth the picture of Jesus Christ and his glorious bride. Yes. See, marriage is so important between a man and a woman and established that way because it's Jesus and his bride. See, anything else is a perversion of that. And it doesn't just pervert marriage as we know it, perverts the gospel. Perverts the look of what God is establishing in us being his bride. So as Jesus is head over his church, or husband of his church, which he is, so we as husbands are over our wives. Now, you think about it, husband. If you're a man and you're in the role of Jesus, how should you treat your wife? As Jesus treats his church. With love, compassion, grace, mercy, encouragement, love. Yes, there's some correction, but the main thing is for God so loved the world that he gave. So what, as husbands, is our goal? To give. To give. To give life, to give direction, to give blessing, to give, you know, everything that will build our wives up. So you think about this. Wives, if a husband is being as Christ is to his church, it's easy to place yourself under. But what if he's not? What if you have an unbelieving husband? What if you have somebody that's not even on the same spiritual page as you? What are you to do then? Run for the hills? Listen to this. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let's see here. Let's go real quickly. I know this is a jump, but I want to get to this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'll go back to 5:22, but I want this point to be made. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. He's saying it a different way is all. Even those who refuse to accept the good news. Now, who's this? Those who refuse to accept the good news. What is that? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm in the New Living Translation again. Hang on here. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So here we have an admonition, an encouragement through the book of Peter now to the wives to submit to their husbands, even if they're not a believer. Wow. Why? So that their conduct that they have in this heart of submission may what? Win them. May be able to proclaim the gospel by this bride's attitude. Are you seeing how this works? The husbands are to be like Jesus in the relationship. The wives are to be as the bride of the church in the relationship. And even if a husband is not as Jesus, if a wife by faith puts herself under her husband in a place of submission and gives him the authority that God has ordained, even if, listen folks, it does not matter if a household does not have two people of faith. Let's say none of them are saved. It still is no different. When God puts them together, The husband is the authority of that house. Now, he may not know it until he gets saved, but it's still true. God's designed it that way. Why? For protection, for safety, and again, because it is the way of Jesus and his church. That's why marriage is so sacred and important. Are you guys following me?
Yep.
Okay. Good. Let's go back now to husbands. So wives have been really good and submitted and done everything they're supposed to do. Let's see what the husbands are supposed to do. Oh, let me finish this one part. You wives will submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the body, the church. He gave his life to be her Savior. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands. Who's this to? Husbands. Now listen to this. I don't know, when I read this, this challenges me. Husbands, love your wife. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now you listen to that, men. Don't just think, oh, well, I have to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, and then he describes what that means. He loved her and gave himself for her. To be a husband means you empty yourself. Means that you basically are giving up your rights for your wife's. Because what did Jesus do for us? He gave up his rights, his life, so we could have eternal life, right? So men are going, ding, 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 ding. How does that look? Well, let's go on. It says that we do this. We love our wives, as Christ loved the church, in such a way that we might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. I believe a lot of men don't realize this, but in the place of authority that God's given you as the man of the home, the husband, your words contain extreme power. And you can speak life or death over your family, over your wife. And if you look at Jesus, he cleanses us, how? Through the washing of the water of the word. He sanctifies us. He separates us through the washing of the water of the word. So what does this mean for us as men? It means that we speak life. We speak the word of God out of our mouth. And what happens? Our wives are bathed in the blessing of God, in the goodness of God. Now, if we speak cursing, we speak negative, if we speak death words, what happens? Sucks the life right out of her. You think about it. It's almost like we have an opportunity to be like God to them. Now, you're not going to like this. Or like Satan to them. Because what Satan does, see, Satan condemns, Satan steals, kills, and destroys. So if what's coming out of our mouth is condemning, if what's coming out of our mouth is stealing the life from them or stealing their heart of passion even for God, if what's coming out of our mouth is sucking the very essence of who they are out of them, we're being like who to them? Satan. We're being like the devil. We're being in the world, and when you're in the world, you respond as the world responds, and the world's God is the devil. So you're speaking as if you were the devil to them. Listen to that, Mike. So we need to speak life as Jesus would. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if we're walking according to the Spirit as men, We're not going to speak condemnation to our family. Even when things go wrong, even when things start turning upside down, there will be life that comes out of us. And guess what? God's allowed us to deliver abundant life to our wives. Let's keep going on. It says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, you're going to say, man, are you telling me that as a husband, I make my wife holy and without blemish? Well, not like Christ does, because Christ takes away all sin. But honey, would you come here? Again, yeah, I like it. This is my lovely bride, my helpmate, my co-laborer in Christ. And the way that I communicate to her and to others validates who she is as a woman of God and as a woman. And it allows her to either glow with the glory of God or become darkened with condemnation and guilt. And I believe that God allows our wives to be a glory to us if we are a husband that truly loves our wives. If we're not, then what are they? They're a testimony of our bad character. Now, some of you may go, oh, this is really tough. Again, I didn't write the book. I'm just repeating it. I'm communicating to you so that you know how to treat your woman of God. Now, if you're not married and you're in the future for a woman of God, realize that how you treat her should be as Jesus treats you. And if you don't know how Jesus treats you, then you need to read the Word. All right. Thank you, honey. Then it goes on to say here, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. But he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So we're to love our wives. If we don't, okay, let's say if we don't love them even as Jesus does, but if we could at least get to the place where we would love our wives as we would at least respect and love ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, unless you know God's approval in your life, unless you know God's, I guess you say, accommodations, and God's righteousness, and God's reason for standing upright, and not your own, not what you've, you know, built in yourself, you're built on your own esteem, unless God is the one who esteems you, it's hard to love your wife, truly. Because if you're basing all of your, I guess you could say, worth on your own efforts, you're not going to deliver much to someone else. Because it's only truly from God's esteem and God's worth that we can give out godly worth to others that builds them up. All right. Back to 1 Peter. We read verse 1 and 2. I'll start with 3 again. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles. It's jumping to New Living Translation again. I don't know why it's doing that. It's all messed up. Okay, here we go. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That is for you, women. That is for you, brides. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. If you look at this, if you, as a woman, can, in faith. Maybe it's not, maybe you don't see, you're saying, Pastor Mike, I don't see this Christ-like man before me. Pastor Mike, I don't see this gentleman that you're describing. Even if they're men of faith, sometimes they're still learning this walk. But if you, by faith, submit yourself and give yourself through confidence in God and reverence in God, not because Pastor Mike told you so, but because God is asking you to do it, and you place your husband in a place of authority over you, and you pray for him. You pray for him. You pray about his decisions. You bless him. You don't curse him. You basically give him a reason to see you and go, oh my, what's going on with this lady that I've married? She's treating me different. She's respecting me different. She's giving me room to be able to be who I'm called to be. And you do that? It says, and if you are good and not afraid of any terror, it says that you, where is it here? For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. You're adorning yourself. You're basically creating heavenly jewelry that people see. You're creating garments of righteousness. You're being decorated. You're being paraded as somebody glorious. But it's because of not what you put on, not your makeup, not your eyelashes, your eyebrows, all those things. It's because of what you're doing in your heart. And that's actually more important than what you do with all those other things. That's what this is saying. I mean, I'm not opposed to makeup. I'm not opposed to jewelry, any of that type of thing. But if you're focusing on your outward appearance, not your inward appearance, not who you are on the inside, then your outward appearance is just a facade. It's not who you truly are. Does that make sense? I mean, you guys have all ran into somebody, I mean, they look fantastic on the outside. Everything's perfect. But on the inside, you can't even hardly stand to be around them. Has anybody ever ran into? Yeah. I mean, it's... Don't raise your hand, Stephen. That's not good. Anyway, I know. Well, you don't raise your hand. It's like a figurative question. Especially if you're married, you don't raise your hand. It's like, I know. Still. Little fatherly counsel there. Okay. Okay, this is where I really want to get to. And we're good. We're doing great on time, aren't we? When I was probably 5 or 6 years ago? No, about 5 or 6 years ago. I ran into a real difficult time. And it was, I think it was towards Christmas time, wasn't it? And Gay and I were like just this, it's like a wedge was being built between us. And she was getting more disheartened every day. And I didn't know what to do. I was trying to do my best to pursue the Lord and, you know, grab everything I could grab from the kingdom of God. And I mean, I was just, you know, I wanted to be full of God. And it just wasn't working. It was not working. There was something wrong. And we had a discussion one night, and I realized that, man, I needed to repent because I was not handling things properly as it came to my wife. And I asked her for forgiveness, and she received the forgiveness, and I received the forgiveness, and we were like, you know, hugging and praying for each other and crying. This was like 2.5-3 hours that this went on. But it was a powerful moment. And this scripture came to my heart the next day because when I was laying in bed and I was just, you know, just waking up, all of a sudden all these things started coming into my heart, all these ideas, all these things. I mean, it was like, you know, when you know, someone pushes, you know, you've got like a, for those of you who know, you can have these different emails that back up. And, you know, it says like, you know, you're waiting to get, 300 or something. You've been gone from your computer for a couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, they're just like, yeah. Again, if you're not technical, you don't know what I'm talking about. But basically, you have a backup of all these emails, and they're downloading. And you're just waiting for them to finish. That's what it was like. All this stuff was downloading into my heart. I'm like, oh, Lord, what is this? And he reminded me of this scripture. And this is what I want to leave you today with, men, because I believe this is a key scripture for us. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Your prayers may not be hindered. That's what was happening with me. My prayers were hindered. I thought that I was like moving in with God and experiencing Him and having Him, in my heart fully. But until after I got this corrected in my life, then, man, His presence came. Then the answers came. I mean, it's like I must have been hitting the ceiling. And I just want to encourage you, men of God, that your wife is, yes, the weaker vessel, but that doesn't mean just, physically. That means that the way that God has established them, He puts them under us. And we are like their covering. We are like their protection. And if we don't speak those words of life, you know what I had to learn? I had to learn to let my wife, once again, share her deep hurts, her frustrations, her challenges. And at first I was saying, like, honey, that's just, you're bringing me down by doing that, And I didn't realize that God had a grace for me to let her vent. Now, I know some women think, well, women are meant to vent it with each other. Well, I mean, that can happen if nobody else is in their life. But as a husband, we have an opportunity to let our wives communicate things to us. And if we give it to God and not just like, because what I always want to do is fix things. I mean, she would start to say something, well, let's go take care of that. It's like, I don't want you to take care of nothing. I just want you to hear me. Because I want to fix it. Sounds like an issue is there. Let's get this taken care of. I'm like, no, I don't want it fixed. And I've got 50 others, so we don't have time for you to fix them all. Right? I'm just saying, there's things that build up in a woman's heart. If they can't share it and get it out with their husband, not have it out with their husband, get it out to their husband, communicate it to where they're releasing, they get bottled up. And it was not good. And I was not honoring my wife as the weaker vessel, realizing that, can you say everything you need to Jesus? Can you? You should be able to. Should be able to say, I'm having a hard time here. I don't know what you're doing. It's like, you can talk to God like that. And he's not gonna strike you with lightning. He's gonna say, my child, you don't get it. And he may give you some grace, peace just sometimes communicating to God is all you need to do. It's just get it off your chest. Well, if that's us, we're his bride, and we can do that, doesn't it make sense that husbands should be there for their wives? I think this is a lost deal in the body of Christ. I think this is something that is, because I know for years, husbands and wives hardly even talked about, anything of real any importance. Because they were just on these two different paths. The husband was, bringing in all the finances. The wife was taking care of all the kids, and they grow up separate. And then all of a sudden, all the kids are gone. And they're like, who is this person? It happens. Because there's no relationship. And that's not the way God designed marriage. The world may have made it into that where it's about chasing, after the rainbow and trying to get the pot of gold, which again does not exist at the end of the rainbow. Does not. How many ever watched Storm Chasers? I like that show. You know what? I was thinking the other day, how about Rainbow Chasers? I think a rainbow's forming. You have to see Storm Chasers to understand that. I bet it could be a hit. Unfortunately, With what I've seen on TV, I bet it'd be a hit. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. How do you understand your wife? It's in the book. How do you understand your wife? The only way that we're going to understand our wives is to have the wisdom of God. Men. Is that not truth? Because they're different than us. I'm thankful that God made them different. But they're different lots of ways. They don't always think the way we think. As a matter of fact, they hardly ever think the way we think. But if we can come to an understanding that who they are in God, that they're co-heirs, they're a gift from God, they're a treasure in our lives, then you know what? It's easier to understand them. We may not fully understand what's going on in their mind, as they will never fully understand what's going on in our minds. We can have an idea. We can maybe get a clue. But that's about it. But in God, in Christ, we can be one, where there is true unity of heart and unity of spirit, where our prayers do have power together, and literally one sending 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000 to flight. I like this part. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. A wife is a joint heir in Christ with you. And if you realize that above and beyond them being your wife, being the mother of your children, whatever you want to label you want to put on her, she's a joint heir with Christ, a co-laborer with Christ. And your union, whether you knew it or not, was to bring God glory, was to let your lives be an example of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're in right order, you literally proclaim the gospel of the husband, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the wife. Just think about that. It means that you don't even have to preach a word sometimes. If you have a life that's in godly order and a marriage that's in godly order, you're proclaiming the gospel. You're showing people the love of God towards his church and his church's love back towards her husband. So the next time somebody comes back and says, hey, you know what? We just need to make it so that anybody can get married. You'll say, well, why are you saying that? Oh, because you know these other people, they need to have rights. And you'll say, okay, well, I mean, yeah, they have rights. They have lots of rights. They have the same rights you and I have, so I don't understand that. But they say, no, they need to be able to be married so that they can have. Say, wait a minute, the word marriage means a husband and a wife. And say, well, you know, that's old school, that's old thinking. Say, no. If we change that, then we change the very look of God. And I don't want to do that, do you? You may make them walk away scratching their head. They may go try to figure it out. You can explain to them what it means, but if they're of no spiritual understanding, it's going to seem like foolishness to them. But if we realize that marriage is the basis for God's kingdom, not just some rule that God made and Adam and Eve had to follow, and now we can, you know, come up with rule B. But it literally is a supernatural dynamic that God has established that shows, the mystery, and Paul goes on to say, the mystery of who we are in Christ and who Jesus is to us. See, this should be teaching us as his people what we need to do. We need to make Jesus, and husbands, men, you need to make Jesus like your husband, where you go to him and you communicate to him your frustrations, your challenges. You communicate to him your desires. And you know what? In that relationship, He's going to cover and protect you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word, Lord, is not going to come back void. And God, we want to stand, Lord, on what you have declared as a husband and a wife, Lord. God, that a marriage, Lord, is a man and a woman, God. Lord, that we are, Lord, in Christ. And in Christ, Lord, we have the ability, God, to have this relationship that is supernatural, that goes beyond our own abilities, goes beyond our own wisdom, goes beyond our own understanding, God, but is able, Lord, to communicate to others, Lord, the truth of who you are, the truth of what you've done. Lord, I pray right now, God, that us as husbands, God, that you would help us love our wives, Lord, as you love the church, Lord. Lord, that we would love our wives and lay down our lives for them if necessary. God, that we would love them, Lord, as we love our own flesh, God. Lord, that we would be able to be, Lord, that one that covers and protects and nurtures and cherishes them, Lord. God, that we would be able to let them be built up into the women of God you've called them to be. The mighty warriors you've called them to be, Lord. God, I pray that you would have your perfect way, Lord, in our wives' lives. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the women, God. Pray, God, for the woman of God, Lord, that are here today, God, that they would, by faith and confidence in you, Lord, not necessarily their husband, God, but confidence in you, Lord, place themselves in a place of submission, God, in a place under their husbands, God, trusting you, in reverence to you, Lord, and you would honor them for that, God, and you would protect them. You would let them be changed from glory to glory, God, and let their husbands see this submissive heart. Let the husbands see this beautifully adorned woman of God with the character of Christ, and let them be changed. Let them desire to change, even if they don't know you, God. And Lord, we thank you that you're doing amazing things in these days, Lord. And we ask that you would let your perfect will, Lord, be done in all of our lives. God, for those that aren't married, Lord, I pray for wisdom for the days ahead, God, that you would be, Lord, their comforter. You would be their strength, Lord. You would be the one that they could walk with, Lord. And Lord, that there would be nothing, God, that the enemy would be able to get in and steal, kill, and destroy. Let us be the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's 24/7 prayer this Friday. Yep. Amen.